Thank you, Pastor Perry and Lois, for giving me an opportunity to share this morning. We're still talking about the Holy Spirit, and so I had told Pastor Perry I would speak on walking daily in the Holy Spirit. What's the first thing you think of when you get up in the morning? For me, it's a cup of coffee, or maybe how comfortable your bed is, or your list of things to do. Basically, every decision and step that we take each day is driven by something, a growling stomach, sense of responsibility, a desire for success. Your day is determined by one of two driving forces, your flesh or your spirit. And so the default setting is the natural thing to do, to let the flesh control you. And the flesh is loud and demanding, and it likes to have its way, and it sure doesn't give up easily. It may not seem like it, but you have control over what controls you. We aren't meant to let our flesh rule our lives. We're meant to walk in the Spirit and live at a level where victory reigns and righteousness rules. And we can walk in the Spirit and be guided by the Holy Spirit every minute of every day. Do you want to know how to do that? You can do it. The Spirit of God is in you all right now. And you may not feel like it, but He's there. He's speaking to you and directing you. And He wants you to experience freedom and blessing. God wants you to operate in the realm of the Spirit, not in the natural world. Walking in the Spirit is how you live the life you've always dreamed of. It's how you claim victory. And if you're feeling discouraged and defeated, sometimes we all do, there's a better quality of life waiting you when you walk in the Spirit. But it doesn't always happen overnight. It's a transformation process of acting in obedience. And if you want to begin or continue to enjoying those blessings of a Spirit-led life, I'm going to talk about five things today. These are five steps or reminders, downloads that the Lord has given me. And certainly there are more, and you may have your own. We've already talked about some. Diana Garlow did great, talking about the Holy Spirit journaling. And Tom Milligan talked about words of knowledge. And we've had so many other. And Alan talked about walking in the Spirit also. So when we were discussing this, I said, well, great, I'm going to follow up walking in the Spirit daily with some of my own. So number one, do I just hit the forward button? It's worked for me before. Oh. I should have got a tutorial first. Number one, walking in the Spirit by throwing off hindrances. This is a big one, so I'll spend the most time on this one. But the verse that we're going to read that goes with this is Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The Amplified Version actually says, easily and cleverly entangles us. Now listen, the verse doesn't say anything about gently removing them one by one. It says to throw them off. I know Pastor Lois likes the Message Version. The Message actually says, strip down, start running, and never quit. Have you ever seen someone who has come in contact with fire ants or bees? Or spiders? Right, Kamel? You don't really stop to consider, should I remove them? You know, could I do it slowly? No, I mean, there are some major ninja moves going on as they, like, take care of it. I did ask permission from Shelby to share this story. We were, when she was 5 or 6, we were in the Kohl's parking lot. We had just gotten in the car. It was a warm summer day, and someone said, I think I hear a bee. There was a bee in the car. So we were all looking around, and Daniel says, don't move. It's on your back. So when someone says, don't move, you generally don't move. She ripped her shirt off as fast as she could, and she's like jumping up and down on her seat. And that's what this verse means, right? Let us throw off everything that hinders us. Oh, my goodness. It's funny now thinking about it. She could have really been hurt. We didn't know. She'd never been stung by bees before, so we didn't know if she was allergic. But we know the damage it will cause. That's why we're supposed to do it so quickly. Listen, you're not supposed to sit around wondering if you should stop sinning or maybe we should cast the devil out of our life. Just get rid of it. You weren't created to be a slave to anything. So we're going to talk about what is a hindrance. A hindrance is a thing that provides resistance, delay, or an obstruction to something or someone. So essentially, a hindrance is anything that is out of line with the Word of God. This is why Satan's so determined to strap hindrances onto us, onto our spirit, because he wants to slow us down. He wants to keep us resistant to God's love and blessing and his peace. He wants to delay and obstruct us from reaching and experiencing all the blessings that he has for us. And hindrances can be anything. Sexual vice, impurity, unholy desires, anger, rage, fighting, having bad feelings towards others, cussing, slander, uttering shameful or mean abusive words, even if they're under your breath and the people don't hear them, adultery, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, strife. I looked up strife because I thought, why say that, but what does that mean? This is interesting. Anger or bitter disagreement over issues. That one strikes a chord for me. Envy, murder, drunkenness, and how about this? Maybe our own strengths or our own successes can even be hindrances. How are we going to throw these off? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus. In order to get rid of these things that are slowing us down, we have to walk in the Spirit. Our natural world will become small in our hearts and minds, while the things of God become bigger and bigger. If you have a sin habit in your life, something you know isn't pleasing to God, now's the time to get rid of it as fast as you would fire ants or bees. So I have a little demonstration to show kind of what I'm talking about. I love iced coffee, right, Shayla? And I love lemonade, too. And you have to shake it. If you've ever had one of these, you know you have to shake it, right? So I love Jesus. He's very sweet. I think so. But I have some hindrances that I love too, right? But I enjoy them both. We say, so I love you, Lord. But I love partying. Let's go get drunk and high tonight. I love you, brother. How can I be praying for you? I hate her. She's so annoying. Did you hear about Amy? I tried to pick a name that I didn't know anyone in here. So if there's Amy here, I'm sorry. I'm going to get into God's word, maybe start a new Bible reading plan. Ooh, naked girls and guys on the internet. It's just sick, but this is some of you. I say you, it's some of us. We do this. Okay, so maybe I'm 90% Jesus. And just a little sin, right? It's sick. But this is some of us, all right? We're miserable, right? We're holding on to sins or hindrances. You try to worship, but you don't feel good. Listen, when you became Christian, you became a slave to righteousness, right? That's what this verse says to us. Once you become a believer, his Spirit resides inside you, and you have to do the things that he loves. Otherwise, it bothers you. You have the Holy Spirit inside you, but you're holding on to sin, so you feel guilty. So I come to church, and I'm trying to worship, but I feel guilty because my sin is with me. Or I'm sinning, and I feel guilty because the Holy Spirit is with me. Maybe there are some things in your life that you need to throw off, things that are depleting your spirit. There's times where we just have to say no out loud to something that is displeasing to the Father. Even shout it out if you need to. No, I don't receive that. Get behind me, devil. I cast down every thought and action that tries to exalt itself against God. Even as I was laying in bed this morning thinking about what I was going to share, all these things keep coming into my head, and I literally had to sit up and say, no. I don't know if I said it out loud. Probably not, huh? I don't know. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to correct and guide you, you will move towards walking in the Spirit every day. He's going to help you separate yourself from the world. Walking in the Spirit is something the Holy Spirit enables us to do by producing in us desires that line up with His will. Number two, we have to sow to the Spirit. Galatians 6:8 says this, "Whoever sows to the flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So if you want to walk in the Spirit, you can't sow your time to the world. You've got to sow to the Spirit to reap the harvest of the blessed and fulfilled life. Alan talked about this a little bit last week. How do you sow to the Spirit? With your time. Relationships are built over time. Many Christians don't grow because they don't get into the Word themselves. And if you don't give God time, eventually natural voices will overwhelm the Spirit in your life. We're connected to the Spirit because He came to live in us at salvation. But sometimes we live by worldly principles. We're connected to the power source, but we choose to live in the dark. And I believe there are times where we actually try to quench the Spirit. The fire's not going to quench itself, but here's what happens. We allow ungodly thoughts to dwell in our mind, and they just simmer, right, and fester. And then that builds strongholds, and we allow our emotions to get untangled with ungodly affections. Or we allow our decisions to be infected with wrong motives. Pretty soon, rebellion, unrighteous anger, selfish ambition, they start to take root. And when something starts to take root, if you're a gardener, you know it's hard to pull up something that has taken root. And so we quench, we stifle, and we suppress, and our opinions start to replace the Word of God. Our opinions start to replace the Word of God. And reading the Bible can feel like lifting a ton of bricks to the point where you can't even lift it up or open it up. We quench the Holy Spirit, and eventually we minimize the Word of God. And not just that, but the Spirit's power in our life. Well, here's the reality. I mean, you have to do things in the natural. We have to, right? But they shouldn't take up all of our time. You need to give your spirit the opportunity to feed on the Word of God, to fellowship with Him, and to build yourself up in faith. I don't think I put this one on there, but Galatians 5:16 says this. "But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek Him, and be responsive to His guidance. Then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts." It doesn't take a lot of time. But have you ever considered giving the Lord a tithe of your time? Maybe just an hour or two a day. And you might say, "I don't have an hour. Like, you don't know my schedule. You don't know how booked my schedule is." Well, here's the truth, people. You're going to make time for things that are important to you. That's the truth. And I'm talking to myself. So if I'm not making time for God, where does that rank Him on my importance list? When you sow to the Spirit, it's going to take you to a realm where you've never been before. In fact, when you get to the place where the truth of God is so real, the Spirit of God will rise up on the inside of you and prompt you to do things you've never thought of doing before. Number three, we're going to walk in the Spirit by presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. And this is in Romans 12. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." That's a really big commitment, but it's what Jesus did for us. He presented His body as a living sacrifice. What does this mean for us? How are we going to do that? Three things that kind of came to me. And the first one is this. We're going to lay aside the things of the world. It means being willing to give up activities or friends or habits that don't match God's best for you. Kind of goes back to the first number one, right? Throwing off our hindrances. Number two is we're going to obey righteousness, not the flesh. We are slaves to righteousness. The reason people get so good at sin is because they practice it, right? So a person doesn't become an alcoholic after the first drink. They have to practice it until their flesh is trained to demand it, or cigarettes, or whatever it is, right? So to become good at obeying the Holy Spirit, we must practice. And this one, number three, this is what I've been trying to practice a lot lately, making a daily decision. My friend Mike Curtis says, we choose every day, right? We choose how we're gonna act, what attitude we're gonna have, what behavior. We choose every day. So I have to choose every morning when I get up, Lord, I'm gonna obey your Spirit today. Here's the thing. You choose to get dressed every morning, right? Here's where I'm going. Now, you wouldn't walk out of your house every day without putting on clothes. I mean, you could, but you know it's better if you clothe yourself, right? So it's the same with the Spirit. You can walk out of your house and you can go on with your day, and you don't have to clothe yourself in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. You don't have to. It's your choice. But I will tell you, it's going to be better for you and those around you if you do. There's a pastor at Eagle Mountain International Church. His name is George Pearsons, if you've heard of him. He, every morning, declares Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Every morning to help remind him to walk in the Spirit. And so I'm going to ask you all to stand up, and we're going to read this declaration together, what he says. And this, perhaps just a representation of what we could say to ourselves every morning. Ready? Father, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. For this is my reasonable service, my true worship for you. I command my body to submit to my spirit. Father, according to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles me, that I may run with perseverance the race that is set before me, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of my faith. In Jesus' name, I am commanding my body and mind. You can't tell me what to do or think. Spirit man, you're in charge. Body and mind, you submit to the Spirit. Thank you. As you continue to present yourself to the Lord, it may take some time for things to straighten out, but if you're willing to be obedient, it won't take long. Listen, it would be backwards for us to say, well, I'm going to get everything together, and I'm going to get my life right first, and then I'll start walking in the Spirit. But listen, as you obey the Holy Spirit's leading and prompting, other things in your life are going to fall in place and straighten out. Number four, walking in the Spirit by praying in the Spirit daily. Romans 8:26 says this, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness, we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. One of the most powerful ways to begin walking in the Spirit is to start praying in the Spirit. And I'm going to be completely honest, this is one that I struggle with, but I'm getting better. I'm trying to be more intentional in my efforts, and Alan challenges me on that, and I appreciate that. So, but here's what I'm learning through the process, okay? Praying in the Spirit opens a gateway to living life above and beyond things that we've ever known, right? For me personally, it charges and strengthens my spirit. It enables me to overcome weakness of my flesh, my bad habits and thoughts. It strengthens my ability to resist the devil. And let's be honest, I mean, the devil loves watching our flesh battle, right? And our flesh is weak. Outside of this, we have no chance of overcoming him in our own strength, none. We'll never see victory if we're trusting in our own flesh. But the Holy Spirit is the devil's worst nightmare. So praying in the Spirit also causes my inner person to rise up when I'm faced with adversity, and it helps me to persevere. He intercedes with strength that I know I can't find on my own. And praying in the Spirit reveals to me that I could never do it on my own. Words of knowledge, dreams, and visions. Perfect timing to reach out. Perfect timing to step out. If you want to go to a new level spiritually, I just want to encourage you to start praying in the Spirit every day. Number 5 is obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And this is in John 10:4, says, I believe this is the verse that Pastor Perry started with when we started this whole series. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow them because they know his voice. So let me ask you this. Do you know the Lord's voice? We are his sheep. The verse tells us that we follow him because we know his voice. Holy Spirit is always speaking to you. Always. And there's an answer for every problem you face. Problems in your marriage, financial, health, family-related, school and career decisions, personal and emotional strongholds. We're only one word away. I mean, Elizabeth touched on this during worship this morning. We're only one word away from the Lord making a complete turnaround in our lives. And so the question is, well, how do we gain access to these answers? And the answer is by paying attention and to heeding to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But I guess the question is, I mean, really, how far do we want to go? We say, I'd go to China or Uganda or Haiti or Ecuador if God asks me to. I'll do it. But we have a hard time obeying him in some of the smaller things, like harboring and withholding forgiveness, watching ungodly television. We talk about people behind their backs. We ignore the Spirit's promptings to pray for others. Here's the thing about that. When you ignore the Holy Spirit, you might not get a second chance to do that thing he wants you to do. You might not. I mean, you might, but if you get that prompting and we ignore it, it's just a missed opportunity for us to be obedient to God. We stay in comfortable jobs, comfortable schools, comfortable situations when we know he's calling us to step out. And we don't spend time with him daily. Peter told Jesus, I'd die for you. But when Jesus asked him to pray, he fell asleep. Everything that God tells us to do is important. It doesn't matter how small or insignificant it seems. If God is prompting us to do something, it's important. How do you know the Spirit is talking to you and prompting you? I mean, the more you spend time with them, the more familiar you become. And the cool thing about that is, as soon as you get familiar, then he starts talking to you in a different way, right? But the more familiar his voice becomes, I mean, that's what the verse says, right? The sheep follow him because they know his voice. I love the part right before that, though. It says, he goes ahead of them. There's no place he's going to take us where he hasn't ever been. For me personally, sometimes I actually get a physical manifestation of the Spirit, like my heart starts thumping or my pulse is racing, right? Or like I just start walking somewhere. I'm like, where are we going? I know that's happened to some of you guys. You've told me stories. But here's the thing. Just because the Spirit's revealing something to me doesn't necessarily mean that I'm supposed to share it. It might be something he wants me just to ponder in my own heart. Maybe it's something that is meant to minister just to me. So when I feel that prompting, I just say, God, is this for me or is this for someone else? And typically, if it continues, it means to me I'm supposed to share it. No, it's different for everybody. But that's just been my experience. And there's going to be times, I will tell you this, that obeying the Spirit is going to lead you to some impossible situations. It maybe even painful. And when we look at our own skills and our own knowledge and resources, we'll be very discouraged. But when you're a Christian and you've placed your faith in Christ, the Spirit's within you, and you have the resources of heaven at your disposal. Your success will not depend on the way you use your resources, but on how you obey the Spirit of God. And when you obey the promptings, you're going to be in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. And you'll have success and victory in everything that you do. If I don't know what magicians want to come up. I'm looking at Steve, but maybe it's not you. Okay, thanks. So like I said, there are many ways that we can walk in the Spirit, and these were just a few God downloaded to me this morning. And I think if we try to practice just any a couple of these, we might be surprised where the Lord is going to take us. I would hope that you want to do this with me. If you want to commit to being more intentional about walking in the Spirit daily, I'm going to have you stand and just raise your hands as I pray together, or as I pray for you. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We desire to be driven by your Spirit and not our own flesh. Lord, please bring to our attention those hindrances and things that we need to throw off. Father, we ask you to take those hindrances and cast them as far as the east is from the west, Lord. Help us to create a habit of spending time with you, of sowing to your Spirit. We don't want to quench your Spirit, Lord, but fan it into flame. Help us prioritize spending time with you. Father, we ask for encouragement as we lay aside things of this world, obeying righteousness and making decisions daily to put on your Spirit. We ask that you would draw us to an intimate prayer time where we become less and you become more, Lord. And finally, Lord, we want to be obedient to you. We just want to be obedient. And for those who are here today, Lord, who've never heard your voice or recognized your voice, Lord, I just pray that you would make yourself known in such a big way, Lord, that they couldn't deny it was you. And as we continue to follow you and listen to your voice, Lord, just give us strength for the journey and encouragement to press on, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We trust you, Spirit. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.